Hey, this isn't the cold open, but it is me, Darian.
And it's me, Davis.
And we just want to do some real quick housekeeping before the episode starts. First, we want to shout out our new patron, Megan Gaw.
Thank you so much, Megan.
Speaking of patrons, we want to use our little podcast to do some good. So we're taking a page from the Potterless podcast, and every month we'll be donating $1 for every patron we have on Patreon and donating to a children's literacy group. For February, we're supporting Room to Read.
Room to Read works with local organizations to help develop literacy skills among primary school children. They also support girls to complete secondary school. We currently have 2 patrons, so we'll also be donating $20 out of pocket, bringing this month's donation to $22.
Finally, we want to thank The Skim for featuring us in the newsletter, and welcome all of our new listeners who found us from our feature in the Daily Skim.
You all have a great taste in podcasts and daily newsletters.
That's everything. Now, on to the show.
Actually, I got a quest to get to, so you guys have a good one.
What?
Do you know what your open is going to be before you do it, or do you just kind of plan it?
I mean, I always say the same thing every time, right?
Well, I mean, like your cold opening.
Oh, the cold opening I find when I'm editing it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it comes from somewhere else. From something that would get cut from the podcast, but something that I think was relevant enough or funny enough that could be the cold open.
Okay.
So I have no idea what it's going to be. Hello, mortals, monsters, and myth lovers alike. You're listening to Podcast of Poseidon, where we explore ancient myths and their modern retellings by reading Rick Riordan's, Percy Jackson, and the Olympians. This is Chapter 9, Ares. I'm your co-host, on loan from the Hunters of Artemis, Daring Smart. DJ is not here today. He wandered into the big house looking for some canned wine, ended up accidentally getting a prophecy from the hippie mummy in the attic, and now he's on a quest. So instead, today I'm joined by a very special guest co-host, hailing from Cabin 16, Skylar Barsanti.
What is up, everyone? I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you here. This is my cool friend, Skylar.
Did we say what cabin I'm from?
Well, I said cabin 16.
Okay.
Now you get to say what that means.
Okay. Cabin 16, that is the house of Nemesis, goddess of divine retribution. Mm-hmm. So fitting.
So fitting. No, so fitting. So fitting.
I named a cactus after her once.
Yes, you did. Is the cactus still with us?
The cactus is in the garbage.
The cactus moved to the underworld.
You know what? I got rid of the cactus a long time ago, but it would be funnier if it was the pot is still at the old office that I no longer work at. So Nemesis is no longer with us.
Did you ever get your stuff back from?
No.
They just never said quit. Are you never? Well, what about your multitude poster?
Still there.
Oh no.
Still there.
You may have to do some divine retribution. Get your shit back.
I will have to get my shit back someday. But I know. My poor shark mug.
Your poor shark mug. I'm upset.
That's okay. So, we're okay.
We're going to be okay. We're going to be especially okay because we're going to talk about Aries.
Good. Yes.
Yep. Because you are guest co-host, that means I get to ask you this question. Skylar, what do you know about Aries?
What do I know about Aries? I know my sister is an Aries. but not the same kind of Aries.
Are we sure?
Yes. She was born in April.
Uh-huh.
So she is an Aries, but not the same kind of Aries. I know he is
I've met your sister.
Right. So. I know he is the god of war.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it.
Now that's honestly really all there is to Aries, even in terms of Greek mythology. So we'll start at the basics. Aries, god of war, son of Zeus and Hera.
Okay.
One of the few times that Zeus was having a kid with someone who was actually his wife.
Bare minimum.
Bare fucking minimum.
Good for you.
Thing is, Zeus and Hera both hated Ares, according to Homer.
That makes sense.
Because everybody hated Ares. Even the Greeks didn't like Ares.
I don't want this to turn into like an Ares sympathizer show, wherein I feel bad because he probably had a really shitty childhood.
I mean, yeah.
It's like the one time Zeus has a legitimate child with his actual wife.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out to be the god of war. That's a lot to grow up with.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
Tell me more.
No, I'll tell you more. So there was another time where Zeus does have a child with his actual wife.
Okay.
That's Hephaestus, who's like the god of like engineering.
And, okay,
like,
he's cool.
No, he's really, really cool.
He's pretty dope.
Right? So Ares does have an affair with Hephaestus' wife, Aphrodite, so we can just not sympathize with Ares.
Fuck Ares.
No, it's good. Fuck Ares.
Fuck Ares, everyone.
We're not a fan of Ares.
Not a fan.
Don't be like Ares.
Don't be like Ares.
So basically, there's not
really a lot to go. We could just have like a Spark Notes list of like, and then Ares was here and he did this and he did this. But he doesn't have a lot of like myths because really he, beyond the fact that he has affairs with Aphrodite and one time Hephaestus literally caught them in the act and everybody came and pointed and laughed. And then he got kicked out of Mount Olympus for a while. He doesn't have a lot of like character. He will be mentioned as like, and Ares sided with the Trojans in the Trojan War. Or, and then Ares was captured by these giants. But he's not like Apollo where he does things, or like Hermes or like Artemis.
They don't have like quests and adventures.
Like quests or, yeah. He is literally more like just a symbol for being that kind of bloodthirsty warfare, which is like why the Greeks don't like him. Except for like Sparta.
Didn't they make this up, though? They could have given him a better story.
No, but even in that, they still, even in like the Greek story, when they describe where he comes from, they would say he came from like this other land, like north of Greece, where like these warlike people, even though he was like a god of Olympus, he's still not with us.
So no one wants to associate with this guy.
No. He didn't really have any cities where he was worshipped. Even like Sparta would be like, yeah, warfare. But they weren't like, he didn't have like major temples. He didn't have like an Athens.
You know, that makes sense though, because like war is nothing to be celebrated. So do I feel bad for the guy? Yes. Is this his whole shtick though? Also, yes.
It is. It is his whole damn shtick. So he, like you said, war is nothing to be celebrated. And even the couple times when they're like, oh yes, the soldiers like reveled in like the battlefield of Ares, it would often be followed up with, they were so glad they got the fuck out of there and managed to live to see tomorrow.
Is there a god of like victory or triumph?
Yes, Nike.
Nike, okay. Mm-hmm. More likely to associate you want with Nike. That one.
Yeah. Or for the Greeks, it would have been Athena, who was the goddess of like warfare, but specifically like strategy and wisdom on the battlefield. Like, that's what you want.
Nobody wants to celebrate their conflict.
No. Yeah, because Ares is literally like conflict. In Mythology by Edith Hamilton, he is described as murderous, bloodstained, the incarnate curse of mortals.
That's not flattering.
No, not flattering. But in addition to being like, oh, the god of like war and chaos and bloodshed and battle, all this stuff, dude's a fucking coward.
That honestly doesn't surprise me.
No, that's another thing he described in like Homer and in the Iliad as like a whining god who like, he'll just run away at the first injury. Like the first chance that he's going to get hurt or lose, he just dips.
So I think we should call this episode Ares is a bitch-ass instigator. Because like he incites the drama and the conflict but doesn't actually get involved.
Well, I mean, because he does want to get involved. Like, he wants to start the bar fight, and then he wants to be in the bar fight. But as soon as someone bigger shows up and he gets a cut a little bit on a broken bottle, he's crying to daddy. Which we see in Percy Jackson, right? We see all of this. We're like, nobody likes Ares.
Right.
Like you said, he's an instigator. Like, when Percy's around him, he feels angry. And he sees every teacher who was ever a dick to him when he looks in his eyes. And he just, like, hates him so much. And that's what Ares wants. He wants that rage. He wants that anger. He wants people to throw the first punch because he wants to punch him right back. But as soon as this 12-year-old nicks him with a little bit of the sword, it's barely a paper cut, he runs away, but also leaves an inferno that would have just killed Percy if he hadn't looked away at the right time. Like, he's a dick.
You can't see me shaking my head, but it's happening.
You can feel it,
It's happening. I mean, I do love his whole persona in the series, right? Because he's like a rock star, right?
No, that's Hades.
No, fuck. Yeah. Damn it.
No, Hades.
No, I thought this was what we were talking about. I was getting them mixed up. Okay. No. There go my notes.
I want to talk about the movie.
Okay, I don't actually remember his... Okay, see, I didn't...
No, because I'm sitting here, too, and I'm trying to remember...
Because, okay, no, you're right. It is not, Hades.
No, he's... Fuck. Is Hades... Is Ares even in the movie? We have a rule we don't talk about the movie.
He's not, and that's what I was super stoked for. I was like, yeah, because he's like a petty rock star.
Yeah.
No, that's Hades. I'm so sorry. Wow.
No, you're good. You're good.
I don't actually remember when Ares... Which book? When does
Ares is in the first book.
Okay, don't remember.
He's a douchey biker guy. He's
like douchey biker like, guy. He's not douchey,
but like jackass biker guy.
Okay, so yeah, so the bar fight thing really works.
He shows up on like a bike and with a dragon in chains and like tricks these 12-year-olds into going on a quest for him, knowing that they're going to get like attacked by like Hephaestus's like golden net stuff.
That's so obnoxious.
It is. But, it really does bring Annabeth and Percy and Grover together as like a cohesive team.
Okay.
So
conflict will do that.
But they're getting, they're 12 and they're already on a quest, so like, fuck off.
He's also in the book the one who actually has the lightning bolt and is trying to arrange all the chaos because he's easily manipulated by Kronos. But you know.
But you know.
This is not Kronos' episode.
It's not. I don't even know how to react to some of these things. Okay, so what else does Ares do?
So, as I said, not a lot.
Not a lot. Okay, not he instigates the problem, then bounces.
You see, one thing I was surprised to read about when doing some research, because again, there's not like a lot of like substantial Ares myths to go on. There was one time when he kills Halorotheus, who's one of Poseidon's sons, which obviously upsets Mount Olympus, and everyone's like, okay, well, now we have to have like a tribunal. Like, what the fuck? Okay, well, it turns out Ares killed him because he, being the Halorotheus, raped Ares' daughter. So he kills that guy.
Don't do that to the god of war.
No. I mean, don't do that to
anybody. Don't do it to anyone. Nobody, right,
but that seemed like a bad idea for a lot of reasons. And this is, I think, the one time we can sympathize with Ares a little bit, because he does go and kill that guy.
I probably would too.
But yeah. Yeah. No. And then the last episode we talked about was Medusa. Mm-hmm. And yeah, usually women in that situation don't have any sort of justice whatsoever. So.
Classic.
So that's the one time Ares was kind of not a dick.
Okay. That doesn't make up for it.
No, it doesn't make up for Ares in general.
No.
But here's another thing that, Skylar, you will be uniquely interested in.
Mm-hmm. Tell me more.
Ares, the father of Hippolyta.
What?
Mm-hmm. And for our audience who doesn't automatically know that, who is Hippolyta?
Hippolyta is the queen of the Amazons. My queen. Mm-hmm. Queen of the Amazons. Big love for Hippolyta.
Yep.
That's her dad. How does that work?
Well, here's what's fascinating.
They're ruining Wonder Woman.
Okay, well, hold up. Wait, the Greeks are ruining Wonder Woman?
The what?
The Greeks are ruining Wonder Woman?
No, I mean, like, how is Ares Hippolyta's father if, she, like, they have to defeat him?
Oh, we're going to get there.
Okay, good.
So here's in Greek mythology, once again, we're going to quote Edith Hamilton here.
Okay.
Not far from here was a country of the warrior women, the Amazons, the daughters, strangely enough, of the most peace-loving nymph, Sweet Harmony. But their father was Ares, the terrible god of war, whose ways they followed and not their mother's. The Amazons were not gentle foes, basically. Like, these are the Amazons.
They're badasses.
That's where they get their warrior stuff from.
They are relentless badasses. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay.
So in Greek mythology, like, Ares is considered the father of the Amazons, because he's the father of Hippolyta, and then Harmony the Nymph, Harmony the Nymph is her mother, and then that's where we get the Amazons from.
Interesting.
Which is very different than the most noteworthy example of Ares in modern pop culture, which, Skylar, once again, you will be uniquely qualified to share with the listeners. So, Sky, where do we see Ares? Why are you here?
Why am I here? Let's talk about why I'm here. I love Wonder Woman. 2017 and on, so much. Mm-hmm. I love her outfit.
Yep.
I love her hair. I love her sense of self. I love her sense of justice. I love that she tries so hard and is just like a good fucking person. Mm-hmm. I love that she loves ice cream because so do I.
Yes.
I love her so much that I paid someone to make me a custom Wonder Woman costume.
Fuck yeah, you did.
Last year. And I still have it. And it's so good.
It's so good. You look
fucking
great.
It's so good.
That was your rock climbing goals.
That was like the 98% of the reason I started rock climbing was because I said I want to have arms that look like Wonder Woman's arms. Mm-hmm. And I think I've kind of achieved that.
You've crushed it, yeah.
We've gotten pretty close,
I would say.
And that's how much I love Wonder Woman. She inspires me. Since Wonder Woman 2017, no movie has worked up the amount of reveal or anticipation as like No Man's Land. For me, like that's peak superhero reveal. It's so dramatic. So it's so well put together.
I cried.
Like I was overwhelmed seeing her come out of the trench having been told, you can't do this thing. You can't win this fight. It's not something we're going to do. And she says, fuck it. And she goes out and she makes it happen.
It's very good.
That's the energy I love.
And that's why you're here to talk about Wonder Woman.
She's my hero. So she shows up for the first time on our screens, not really for the first time.
No, she's been around.
For me, she didn't exist before 2017 because Patty Jenkins delivered the greatest DC
yes
superhero movie
in the current canon.
I'm not taking critiques.
I'm not taking questions or critiques.
Don't at us.
Wonder Woman 2017 is the greatest DC movie made to date.
Mm-hmm.
And Ares is the main villain.
He is.
And it's just so good because he's played by David Thewlis, who, all credit given to him, is not probably not the most intimidating person who could play the God of War, but mm-hmm. that's what makes it so good.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what Patty Jenkins
was
going for.
I think that's genius. That's what she was going for. Do we need to tell the people what Wonder Woman 17 was about?
No, yeah, I think we do, because definitely have gotten the habit of sometimes just assuming everybody knows things.
Right,
so
okay.
So guys, go on. Remind me, I have not seen this movie in a while. Wonder Woman.
We open.
Mm-hmm.
We actually open in Paris, but that part's not really important right now. Okay, so we first meet Diana,
mm-hmm.
the only child on the island of Themyscira, which is where all the Amazons live, mm-hmm. and they're super badass,
mm-hmm.
and they do all this fighting stuff. Mm-hmm. And Diana really wants to be a warrior, but her mom is like, no, you can't.
And who's her mom?
Her mom is Hippolyta.
And who is she again?
Queen of the Amazons.
That's right.
That's what she is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But she really wants to learn to fight because she's super impressed. And her favorite person is Antiope, who is like general of the Amazons.
Mm-hmm.
And she's super cool. Anyway, so Diana grows up. She finally gets her mom to agree to start her training. Mm-hmm. She's a super great fighter. She's mm-hmm. got these superpowers that she doesn't really understand yet, but she's an Amazon, so she doesn't really question them because
everybody here is badass.
Everyone here is badass, and they all have cool superhuman abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so she's got no idea what's going on in the outside world. She just lives on this cool island. And one day Steve Trevor rolls up in a broken down airplane and he crashes
mm-hmm.
into the water, and she rescues him and she's like, what is this? And he's like, I am a man. And he's like, there's a war going on. And she's like, fuck, like war, like we're the Amazons. We're supposed to fight wars.
Literally.
We're literally, like, that's our whole job. She's like, Ares starts wars. There's a war. Defeat Ares. Problem solved.
Mm-hmm.
So Diana breaks Steve Trevor out of Themyscira. Mm-hmm. They get on a boat. They talk about reproduction. They go to London. They go to go fight on the front lines. Diana emerges as this great Wonder Woman. She does the whole no man's land thing.
So
and it's one of the greatest scenes in movie history. I cried. It was great.
World War One.
This is Steve Trevor shows up and he says there's a war going on. It's the whole world is involved. And Diana's like,
war to end all wars.
Only Ares could instigate a war on the entire planet. Because mm-hmm. he's a bitch ass instigator. So she follows him to London. They end up on the front lines. She's super convinced that Ares is behind this. And Steve Trevor was like, no, it's like just a bunch of bad dudes. Like, people make bad choices. It's what humans do.
Mm-hmm.
She's really convinced it's Ares. She finds this guy, General Ludendorff, who's and mm-hmm. she's convinced that he's Ares. Diana runs a sword, the god killer, who mm-hmm. she has been told this is the only thing that can kill a god. She runs it through Ludendorff. It's like, joke's on you, Diana. That's not Ares.
It's just a guy. Just an asshole guy. Not
just
a Nazi,
just an asshole.
Because this is 1914.
Right.
But.
Just an asshole. So then Ares materializes in the form of Sir Patrick, and she's like, no.
It's like, you wanted to do the, what are the accords? The fucking...
The armistice.
The armistice.
He's supposed to be negotiating the armistice. Turns out he's been instigating the conflict the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
They have a big blowout fight. He gets some armor.
He gets a real CGI.
Basically, it all comes down to she defeats Ares and blows him up spectacularly.
Mm-hmm. Very,
but
because
really,
she's the god killer.
Because she is, in fact, the god killer, which is what her mom was hiding from her. Thanks, mom.
Because her dad is Zeus.
Because her father is Zeus. Zeus. She is the god killer made from clay.
But not really.
So it ends and she learns to accept, you know, like, people have to choose right and wrong, and they're not always going to choose the right, but that's how it goes.
Steve dies.
Steve dies in an explosion.
He sacrifices himself.
Stop
a bomb.
It's very brave, very sad.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Wonder Woman 2017.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The only version that exists for me, truly.
Yep. It is a very good movie.
It's so good. Oh, yeah. Here's what I've discovered. There are two kinds of people in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Men who didn't like Wonder Woman 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And women who liked Captain Marvel better than 2017.
Okay.
There's no in between.
Like there are three, and it is the people who liked Wonder Woman.
Right. Well,
it's fine. Moving on.
Yeah, moving on. No guy I talked to about Wonder Woman has a reason for why he didn't like it. And the answer is because he's a man. Like,
it's weird. Yeah, because it's most of the guys who I'm friends with the doctor, they're like, oh yeah, I liked Wonder Woman. And maybe it's not necessarily their favorite superhero movie,
right.
But it doesn't have to be.
Well.
But it's weird when they say, I don't like it. And you're like, do you just not like good movies?
Right. Do you just hate masterful cinema?
I bet you also liked Rogue One.
you probably also liked Rogue One.
This is gonna how the podcast blows up, is because we end up on Reddit and a bunch of alt-right trolls.
Whatever. Well, I mean, they just, well, but here's the thing though, is that like, and this is, I think, what I spoke to one of my many like dating app dudes about, because we get into this. I make us get into this because I really, he needs to like Wonder Woman. That's a requirement.
Or have a good reason.
Or have a really good reason for I didn't, but they usually don't. It really comes, it comes down to choice. I think, because I think women are more likely to see attributes and characteristics they like and identify with in male and female characters, traditional male, female characters or superheroes. Whereas men will really only identify with characteristics they see in other men. So when a woman comes on screen and is being badass and awesome and wants to hold a baby, but also wants to eat ice cream, but also like
punch it, throw a fucking like, tank,
like throws a tank, they're like, oh, not for me. I choose the persona I see in these other like male superheroes. Like it comes down to choice, which is like, I didn't know. I didn't really think I was going to get into this whole speech, but here it is.
Here we go. I'm here for it.
The other kind of people are women who liked Captain Marvel better than they liked Wonder Woman, which is totally fine because I love Captain Marvel. God, I love watching her blow up spaceships. That was super fun.
I love the end. She finally gets her fucking powers. It finally gets to be her. Finally and gets to be her. She's been.
But really, it, I think it also comes down to choice that, like, you can like Captain Marvel better as a character or as a film. I don't agree with you. I digress. We know
Wonder
Woman
is a better
Wonder Woman is a better film,
tighter film. Still like Captain Marvel.
But really, what Captain Marvel does is that they gave, she gave those women choice.
Yeah.
To say, okay, now I have two entirely female-led superhero films, and I'm not talking like, yes, there are other female characters, Gamora, Black Widow.
And we had like Catwoman or like Superwoman.
Right. Like,
but those were not good movies.
Right. We're talking about like in the last 10 years, right? It gave Captain Marvel gave them choice. And I think that's a wonderful thing, because before then, if you didn't like Wonder Woman, it's like, well, you'll never get another female had big
you better
budget.
Like it or you'll never
you better
get
like you
and
better like
sucks.
It or you'll never get it again.
Yeah.
Captain Marvel presented an option, which is something that men who like superhero films had for the last decade. So there are two kinds of people. Men who didn't like Wonder Woman and women who liked Captain Marvel better.
Yeah.
I will not be taking any questions. Thank you so much.
Okay. Yep. No one to add us unless you want to follow us on Instagram.
Yes.
It's a podcast of Poseidon. That's Poseidon, P-O-S-E-I-D-O-N.
Yep.
Yeah. That's Wonder Woman. So how, based on what you've just learned about Ares in this podcast, how do you think, what do you think of the version of Ares we see in Wonder Woman?
I think it makes total sense, because his whole thing, when he's given his whole, when he's like monologuing to Diana, he's like, I don't make them do shit. Like, I just give them the ideas and they act on them. And that tracks for a guy who like, starts the bar fight, but then runs away as soon as he gets a little cut on the forehead. He didn't make anyone do anything. He was just there to convince them or give them the ideas to like start wars.
Yeah.
So that totally tracks. And it's okay that he's walking around in the body of like a pasty British dude, because it's unassuming and nobody's going to suspect him. Also, he's in the land of like men. So like, why would they be like that guy?
Yeah, that guy.
He's
no.
Ares.
No, he's like, a white guy. Obviously he's in charge here.
Right. Yeah. He's a god of war. No, it makes total sense. And thank you, Patty.
Here's something I recently learned.
Okay.
Because Patty Jenkins was recently on, well, like not recently as of the release of this episode.
Sure. In the last year.
In December. So recently as of the recording of this episode. Patty Jenkins was on an episode of Mark Maron's WTF podcast, where she actually talks about making Wonder Woman and stuff, specifically talks about how that big fight with Ares at the end of the movie was a studio mandate.
Because they just need their big blow-em-ups. Like, because it was supposed to, like, it wasn't supposed to be more subtle like Wonder Woman 84 is, wherein people just kind of decide to change, and there doesn't have to be this big blowout fight in order for that to happen.
Studios want what they want.
I liked the ending fight. I'm in the minority here. Sorry, Patty. Like, I was entertained. Like,
yeah, I like Big Patty.
Mission accomplished. Like, I was entertained.
It makes sense. I mean, because I think like what she says is like, you, he's the god of war. He doesn't have to look all godly to have his god powers. They still could have fought. But I also would have been like, you're going to make me watch this pasty white dude.
He gets swole for no reason. Like,
yeah, that was.
I mean, I get he could probably shapeshift, but like all of a sudden he was like, I want to be 8.5 feet tall and have giant muscles.
Yeah, that was pretty wild looking.
That was too much.
It was very Ares though.
But if they hadn't have done that,
I wonder what the alternative to, like, her understanding the full extent of her god killer powers. Mm-hmm. Because when she shoots lightning and shit at her, and she absorbs it, and she takes it, and she harnesses it, and then she fires it back at him, like, double time.
Because mm-hmm. she's a demigod of Zeus.
Right. How else was that supposed to happen? Because the whole movie we'd been building up to, like, she doesn't understand what happens when she, like, reacts and, like, releases her power. Mm-hmm. Like, there would be, like, what would be the answer to that without that ending?
I don't know. I wonder if he could still could have, like, thrown, like, energy shit at her and still could have, like, done that kind of stuff, but without the, I'm a massive monster now. Because, mm-hmm. again, mm-hmm. he's a god.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to look big and imposing.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think the classic, like, mythological Greek version of Ares would instantly be like, I'm a massive armor. I've got this fucking helm. Like, I look a terrifying monster. Mm-hmm. But, like, definitely feels like the Ares that Patty Jenkins had set up in Wonder Woman 2017 didn't have that vibe. Mm-hmm. He was definitely more like, I don't have to do that. Because, like I said, he's like, I just put ideas in their heads and then they do the rest. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't actually do anything. Mm-hmm. I'm over here trying to stop this war, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Because he's a god and he would know that this armistice is like a kind of a raw deal and we're just going to get a bigger war eventually from it.
Yeah. And see, no, is this, but when is a good time to foray into 1984 and what I really, really
right now.
Wanted?
No, like right before, okay, now, let's go right now.
I loved 1984.
Okay.
Wonder Woman 84. Glorious. We waited all pandemic for it.
All pandemic.
And like that was what was getting me through and I'm so glad I got to see it. Mm-hmm. I loved it. It was so shiny. Even soaking wet. Cheetah looked better than the entire cast.
She fucking did, she looked, though.
Even soaking wet from head to toe, she looked better than the entire cast movie.
2019, yep. Which we saw in theaters.
And it was great.
I mean, in Cheetah's defense, her scene was at least in the dark. So they could hide.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I would say it's still better.
Still soaking better.
Wet, still better than Cats.
Still better. Soaking wet and in the dark is better than Cats. But here's what I wanted was missing. Somebody get Patty Jenkins on the phone because I really need answers for this. Is that essentially we get this whole buildup in 2017 where Wonder Woman defeats Ares, at least in his physical, I don't know if gods have a physical form, but
I guess Zeus dies. Like Ares
killed
Zeus.
Right, okay. So she annihilates his corporeal form.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And she accepts that like the world of men they're gonna make stupid decisions, but that is what their free will is all about.
Mm-hmm.
You can't force them. They're going to do what they do and hopefully they learn from it.
You have to choose love.
You have to choose love. But what I didn't get is that, like, we spent so much time talking about, like, Diana's grief for losing Steve. What I really wanted to know is, like, how did Diana cope with the knowledge that, like, wars continued?
Yeah. We got a bigger one, like, 30 years later.
Is that, like, in the same lifetime of the men who would have fought in World War I, we get World War II.
Mm-hmm.
We get Vietnam. Mm-hmm. We get eventually the Cold War, which yeah, we get more massive international conflicts. Like
yeah.
The atom bomb blows Hiroshima off the face of the planet. Mm-hmm. Like how does Diana deal with that? Like, does she sit there and contemplate that, like, yes, she defeated Ares, but his ideals lived on. It's
yeah.
like he wasn't defeated at all. Like
yeah.
he still won. And how does she come to accept that? Because so much of, like, what's so appealing about Diane is that, like, she's this goddess of a figure,
yeah.
but she still has this incredible humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And so having that, like, what is that grief? Like, Patty, please, like, help me understand how she got through this, because by the time we see her again in 1984, she's super broken up about Steve Trevor. And, like, I get it. I am also broken up about
mm-hmm.
Steve Trevor.
Mm-hmm.
I love Chris Pine.
Yeah.
Praise. But there was so much that happened between that. Like, how can she just be sad about Steve? Why do we not understand her sadness about the fact that, like, the world wars still went on?
Mm-hmm.
Vietnam still went on. It's like, how did she come to terms with the fact that maybe she didn't really make that big of a difference?
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird because at the end of Wonder Woman 2017, you get that point where she kills the guy who she's convinced that he's Ares. And then Steve is trying to talk to her. He's like, I have to go deal with his plane.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, they're still fighting. Why are they still fighting? And he's like, maybe just because people are bad. And maybe that's just the way they are. But like, we can't control everything. We just have to do what's right. I can save today. You can save the world. And so he makes this decision to, he knows he's going to die. And he makes this decision to sacrifice himself to stop this bomb, to help prevent things from getting so bad so quick. And I feel like, I almost wonder if, like, what if Ares wasn't there at all?
It still would have happened.
Yeah. And that's the thing. But then when Wonder Woman goes and the movie goes on and then she fights Ares and kills him, everybody in the fight stops fighting. Like all the people are like, oh, wow, they come together. And it almost kind of negates the idea that Ares wasn't responsible for that warfare at all. But then we get obviously the future and there is more war, but Ares is around. So I feel like there's a lot in the Wonder Woman where like we made Ares such a big deal in this movie because as in Greek mythology, he was actually the father of the Amazons, right? Though in DC Comics, we're going to take a real quick tangent to Comic Town. Do you want to come with me?
Let's go. Can we hold hands?
Yeah, we can hold hands.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's do it. Hooray!
So, it's DC Comics. They've been around for decades now, which means, as major comic book companies are apt to do, they've done some continuity reboots over the years. So, Ares first shows up in the Wonder Woman number one. It was October 1941. Wonder Woman number one comes out. Created by William Moulton Marston, and the artist is H.G. Peter. Now, William is the creator of Wonder Woman. He's the whole thing, right? Ares appears in this very first issue, and then for the rest of the time, he's Mars. But essentially, this is the first iteration of Wonder Woman and the Amazons and all the thing, and essentially, you've got Ares who wants to create a society of war. And he's opposed by Aphrodite, who wants to create a society of love, and so Aphrodite actually creates the Amazons. And they exist to oppose Ares and stuff. We smash cut to Crisis on Infinite Earths, which was the first massive reboot where all of the different timelines and all the alternate realities. You've seen Spider-Verse.
So
DC has the same thing. All the realities. They all collide into one. And after this happens, there's a completely new timeline, a completely new continuity. And in this new continuity, Artemis is the one who has created the Amazons.
See, that makes more sense to me.
No, you're right. I mean, Aphrodite's a weird flex. It feels like it comes from someone who didn't know anything about Aphrodite. But also, like, this podcast is about retelling myths and reinterpretation. So, like, who am I to judge?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I could see Artemis creating women-like creatures.
Yeah, yeah. So they, so essentially, this is the basically the details, like, they are the souls of women who died at the hands of men and were given newer, stronger bodies made from clay transformed into flesh and blood.
Okay. See, one of the other things I really loved about Wonder Woman 84 is that, yes, we do get those two opening scenes. I love that we keep the first one on Themyscira because it really shows, like, how big the island is. Like, it's on a much grander scale.
World.
And you get to see that, like, there are thousands of Amazons and not all of them are warriors. Like, some of them are teachers or scholars or politicians, and I'm sure some of them are like beauty queens, and they make clothing, and they cook, and they take care of all these things. I could see Artemis doing both, making warriors and women who are not traditionally like athletic or warrior-like in nature.
They want to kick it and maybe like make
podcasts. I don't see Aphrodite doing that.
No, it's not her jam.
It's
Aphrodite
not her jam.
Is very much.
I don't
like,
see Aphrodite. I don't see Aphrodite making warriors.
No, I don't either.
Sorry, I just don't. That does, I mean, I don't know that much about her. I'm sure she's lovely, but
I mean, she's Aphrodite, so
she's like peak lovely.
But yes, a peak lovely. Yeah,
that makes much more sense. I agree. I do like that.
Yeah. So it's Artemis, and that's where we get that's where Themyscira actually comes from. Is that Crisis on Infinite Earths, the post-Crisis, is like... Because originally they were just called, their island was called, like, Lost Paradise. So this is, like, Themyscira. Then we get New 52, which was another continuity reboot, which is generally considered bad. Just bad. For every person, every hero involved, this was bad. Do you want me to tell you what they did to the Amazons?
Please.
You're not going to like it.
Damn it.
Okay. I'm just going to quote the Wikipedia entry.
Thank you, Wikipedia.
Here they once again lived on Paradise Island, which was the island from pre-Crisis. They didn't have Themyscira. As a race of supernaturally strong women with no use for men, save for periodic mating escapades, three times each century, the Amazons, completely naked, would raid ships in their waters and copulate with the crew. Upon conception, the men were killed to protect the island's secrecy. 9 months later, all the girls were celebrated, while the boys were taken from their mothers and drowned. Feeling sympathy for these discarded progeny, as well as recognizing their potential as a warforce, the smith god Hephaestus exchanged weapons to the Amazons in return for the lives of the Amazonian boys. Sparing them from being cruelly drowned, he raised them as his own sons. And this is also the version where we get Diana as Zeus's daughter with Hippolyta. And Hippolyta invented the whole, I molded you from clay, not to protect Diana from her own, like, heritage and destiny, but to hide her from the jealous Hera.
We always gotta hide stuff from the wife.
Hera has a reputation.
Yeah.
So I would say that version sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like
is
that.
Is bad. No, is bad. Was scrapped when they did Rebirth, which is the most recent
reboot
they did in like 2016.
Okay.
So Rebirth goes back to the post-crisis where they were created by Artemis and what have you. But Diana is still Zeus's daughter. So that's why we have Diana as Zeus's daughter in the movie.
Okay.
And why Ares is just a dick. Because Ares has always just been Diana's like rival, not rival, but like nemesis. Not peak nemesis. That's Cheetah. But like
Ares is like the antithesis of Diana.
Yeah, everything she's
like
about.
Like polar opposites. Like they are not even about the same thing at all.
No,
they
do not
see eye to eye.
No, Diana does not instigate. She deals with the problems.
She
doesn't back down no matter how many times she gets
problem.
Hit.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I love her.
Ares just causes problems and then fails.
Ares needs a lesson in accountability.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because that's not cool.
No.
You know Ares' favorite Taylor Swift album is Reputation.
Mm. Yes.
You know it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which one's Diana's?
Oh. What a great question. I haven't even heard them all. I only discovered Taylor Swift like 2 years ago. So like, I don't get this. You know, I discovered Wonder Woman and Taylor Swift in the same year. That's
meant
not a coincidence.
This question was coming.
That's not this a coincidence. Faded. Okay. So Ari's favorite Taylor Swift album is definitely Reputation because that whole song where she's like,
what song?
I never trust a narcissist, but they love me. The drama loves him. Like, no, that's bullshit, but that's the vibe he goes for.
Mm-hmm.
Diana's favorite Taylor Swift album, if I had heard only based on the ones that I have heard, is probably Lover because it seems very her.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And there is a song, track 5 on Lover is The Archer. And that's why. And I have no other explanation.
Though I don't think we ever actually see her with a bow, except for in
no,
84.
But it does kind of go with the whole Artemis thing and the whole, like, women warriors thing, which I super dig, so.
Yeah, I do wish they had stuck with the Artemis thing. Even if they were going to have Diana be a child of Zeus in order to be able to stand against Ares. Tracks. Yeah, that makes sense for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the movie, they do have it as Zeus created the Amazons. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Zeus created the Amazons to stand against Ares and then hid them away.
Yes.
To protect them because Ares was after them.
He used the last. He used the last of his power. What was Hippolyta's story? He used the last of his power to do something. Whether it was like hide the island or I think it's probably hide the island.
Yeah. Invisible jet.
What about it?
Oh, I just love it.
Oh, yeah.
No, just Invisible Jet.
Yeah.
I have nothing else to add on. Nothing. This is apropos of nothing, but like Invisible Jet.
See, I loved Wonder Woman 84 just because Steve Trevor goes, well, shit, Diana. And it's so good because I'm like, I don't think that was in the script. Like, that was like the look on her face after he says that is like, that's actually Gal Gadot, like realizing that a dumb thing happened. Like,
well, shit, Diana. And if it was something that was actually in the script, I would love to meet the writer who had the gall to be like, and then Steve says.
And then, so good. I loved it. I'm not ashamed of that.
I did like moments of it. I do feel like we spent too much time with Steve.
Spent more time with Steve.
I guess it felt like spending time with Steve and what the movie wanted to be about were like two different things.
That's true.
Because the movie wanted to be about people making the right decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve was just there to be just great chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
Just super fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But like ultimately is just there to provide that one scene of heartache. Well, Diana has to sacrifice something in order to like save the day. And I'm like, but she did that. Also,
she's already done that.
Why doesn't Diana have friends?
That's a really good question.
It's been 70 years. Like I would have forgiven it if we saw that one picture of her with Etta Candy when they come to New York, right? And it's great. I would have loved to hear about the fact that she has not been able to... We talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
How, like, she ages. Or she does not age. She is immortal. Mm-hmm. It would be hard to watch a friend age and die. But we don't talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine it would be difficult to stay anonymous or kind of under the radar as, like, an immortal super goddess. If you had a lot of friends. But that's another thing that I really just, I wanted
Patty Jenkins.
Tell me why this was.
Call me.
Yeah.
Please tell me more about this. Is it like why doesn't Diana have friends? Because she's so, like, she loves people.
Yeah.
She really loves people. Like, she runs in the first, like, in 17, she, like, runs up to that lady on the street with the baby, and Steve's like,
oh my
no.
God, baby.
Right. And because she's, like, blown away that there's another, like, she's, like, babies exist out in the world, but she's, like, never seen a baby.
Never seen a baby.
And, like, and that's, like, her humanity and her innate need to form connections. So, like, I think it goes back to, like, the depth of her grief about the whole Ares and situation in World War One, is that, like, Ares' ideals lived on, and I would have liked to, I would hope that so much of, like, what gets her to 84 and her motivation to, like, wish Steve back is just comes from a place of, I don't know.
Missing
that connection, like, wanting that again, somehow being so possibly disheartened by this, just the state of the world and all the wars and the conflict that she lived through, like, as a byproduct of, like, why doesn't Diana have friends? Like, she would have no trouble making friends. Like, I would be her friend.
Yeah, I would 100%.
100%.
We could take her rock climbing. She'd be better than us immediately. She'd be doing 13. She would be lead climbing 13s.
She'd be so good at it. And if I fell, she would catch me.
Just, I catch you.
Be still my heart.
I literally catch you.
Yeah, but, like, if Wonder Woman caught me,
it'd be
different.
Okay, so here's what I just realized. Mm-hmm. Is that Steve needed, and bear with me.
Yeah.
Steve needed to be the Part of Your World song from Little Mermaid.
Okay.
In that, in specifically Wonder Woman 84. Because what you're just talking about, like, Steve, because it felt weird that she was so hung up, oh, Steve. And the conversation around that is like, oh, when she's talking to Barbara, is like, oh, you've ever been loved? And she's like, oh, yeah, once he died. Mm-hmm. Which, like, I'm not saying she needed to have fallen in love with other people. Mm-hmm. I totally get that. That's fine. But what if instead of focusing on that, it's like Steve is the representative of the connection she doesn't have anymore. Mm-hmm. Right? He crash landed on Themyscira. He knew exactly who she was, exactly what the game was, and adored her, loved her. They had this bond, right? And then her friends that she fought with in that era, and, like, Etta Candy, like, they all knew too, because they saw her fight. They saw who she was. Like, Etta sees her, like, to have the shield and do these all these badass things and not age. And she doesn't have to explain that to them because they were that connection that was just inherent. And when they're gone, it's so hard to start again when you cannot say, so I am a daughter of Zeus, and I grew up on this magical paradise island. Mm-hmm. And because you just can't do that. Mm-hmm. And so if rather than when she, in 84, rather than just wishing for her dead boyfriend to come back to life, the wish is for that connection again. And if Steve embodied that connection.
Yes.
And then I want to tie that in with when she has to give up Steve, the end of the movie, rather than seeing just that guy again, it needs to be her comforting Barbara. Mm-hmm. It needs to be she gave up that old connection and now she is trying to make a new connection with this woman who has been through a lot and perhaps actually could very much relate and understand Diana because she wished to be like her and suddenly had all the powers of a demigoddess. And things kind of go out of hand. So I would have, I think, and I liked Wonder Woman 84 as well, but I feel like that was the thread I was missing where it's like, let's Steve, he doesn't just represent dead boyfriend. He represents all the else, all that version of Diana we saw there that she's lost through the wars and through the time and through not having those bonds anymore and not being able to go home anymore. Like she tried to find that other Amazon woman and could not find her anywhere. She is kind of utterly alone and has been for decades. And I think it would have been really cool for it to have ended with more on building that connection. And we choose love, and we don't just choose love in our actions to not engage in warfare, but we choose love in the bonds and connections we have with other people. That's where love comes from. It comes from what we do for others and how we relate to them and how we let them into our hearts where we are most vulnerable. Like, yeah, I'm not saying anybody could stand up to, like, the god of war and shit, but, like, it's almost scarier to let this stranger into you and be like, this is who I am, and can you love me for it, and can I love you back, and can we create something a little more just because we are two people who have this connection.
I really like that thought.
Thank you.
That was really good. Nice job.
Thank you. Sky, did you have any more thoughts on Ares, or more likely on Wonder Woman?
I really just keep thinking about, like, the gaps in just like, some, please, Patty, explain to me, like, what was the point of having Ares as a villain if he was never really going to be defeated? And then, like, what happened to Diana after that? Because that would make me so, so sad.
So much there.
But Ares is a bitch-ass instigator, and he just starts fights and then claims he didn't do anything.
Yeah. Just saying, this is, it wasn't me.
Wasn't me. Didn't do it. Like, I didn't, I told him there was a gun on the table, but I didn't make him shoot it.
Like, I told
That's
him,
Ares.
I gave him the idea for poison, but, like,
right. I didn't tell him to
give him the corn.
I didn't tell him to do it.
That's Ares.
That's Ares.
Ares sucks.
Ares needs a lesson in accountability. Those are my thoughts.
I think Diana's the one to give it to him.
I don't know. He wasn't really defeated. Like,
I mean, he was. It's just
people like his are, physical. People, like, where does a god go when they die?
The underworld.
Really? Like everyone else?
I guess so. Like, where else do you go?
Lame.
I mean,
yeah. I don't know. You tell me. Like, no, I'm gonna, where do they go? Like,
they don't die. Usually they get wounded in the weekend and then they'll, like, recover their power eventually. Mm-hmm. Like, what happened to Ares in the movie? But apparently Zeus died and, like, every other Olympian? Like, we don't have Artemis for some reason. We don't have Apollo or Hermes. We don't have, apparently, Hades. I was convinced was going to be the villain of Wonder Woman 84.
You were
Oh, I was so... Once Mask of the Lord starts talking about who he's trying to get his, like, all of it back, and he's like, oh, yeah, I also kind of am an expert in, like, gems, things of the earth. And I'm like, it's fucking Pluto. I fucking know. And I was so wrong.
That's okay.
It's okay. We still have Pascal, and he does such a good job.
Yep.
Sally, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. This was great. Major goal accomplished. I was on a podcast.
You're on a podcast.
I hope you'll bring me back. I hope listeners, you let me come back.
Wait, well, you did the Artemis episode, so it really doesn't matter at this point.
Yeah. Sorry.
Awesome. So, Sky, because we are a very professional podcast, we have a Patreon and everything. Sure. It's patreon.com/podcastofPoseidon. It's Poseidon, P-O-S-E-I-D-O-N. You can definitely subscribe and get some bonus episodes. Sky, do you have anything to plug?
I don't really do anything like this. I am a big supporter. I show up in other episodes. Yes. I'm like the weird background side character.
We talk about you a lot.
And I love that so much. We have a rock climbing page. You can see us IRL falling off of walls, doing cool shit. On the rocks, Boise. That is on the rocks, Boise. We also mix cocktails. And it's a lot of fun. We just have fun with it.
Yeah, that's also on Instagram.
That's the only place that you can find me on the internet.
Awesome. Well, Skylar, thank you again so much. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. And thank you, everybody, for joining us. I hope you had fun. This episode was totally about Ares.
Totally.
Obviously.
Obviously, the whole time.
Well, bye, everybody. Until next time.
Don't be like Zeus. Sorry. I stole your thunder.
Oh, my God. You're never coming back.
I'm sorry. I stole your thunder, but I'm not. Okay, go ahead. Do it. No, I'm ready. I'm ready. Go.
I can't even. I've lost all of my moments.
Okay, don't be like Zeus.
Have another drink.
Or Ares.
We're done here.
Podcast of Poseidon is created, produced, and hosted by Darian and DJ Smart. It's edited by Darian Smart.
Our music is Athens Festival by Martin Hain. Our cover art is by Audrey Miller. Find her on Instagram at bombshellnutshellart.
Coming out with us on Instagram and Twitter at Podcast of Poseidon. Find all of our episodes and episode transcripts at podcastofposeidon.com.
Thanks for listening.